Hi, everyone. Guess who? Yeah, me again. Laszlo Montgomery here with another pretty halfway decent Chengyu. And I'd like to extend my thanks to Charlie in Singapura for recommending this one. Today, we're going to look at Jianpu Duan, Li Hai Luan. Six characters, two more than usual, but look at it this way. You're getting 50% more syllables for the price of four. Jianpu Duan, Li Hai Luan. Let's do the usual. Jian is a scissors, or as a verb, it means to cut. Bu means no, and duan means to cut off or break off. Li, among its myriad of definitions, means to straighten a matter out. Hai means still or yet, and luan means chaos or a mess. Cut, not cut off, straighten up, still a mess. I guess if you're a fluent Chinese speaker, you'd be able to figure this out, but this Chengyu, Jianpu Duan, Li Hai Luan, has a story attached to it that offers us all a nice little history lesson. Starring in this Chengyu is Li Yu. Not someone who comes to mind instantly. He lived from 937 to 978. The Tang Dynasty ended in 907, so Li Yu lived during the historical period that is sandwiched in between the Tang and Song Dynasty. And this is the Five Dynasties, Ten Kingdoms period that lasted 902 to 979. Before I get to the Chengyu, let me first dish on Li Yu and why he was one of the more memorable characters from this chaotic time in Chinese history when the country was all divided. And as the Romance of the Three Kingdoms foretold at the very beginning, the nation long divided must unite, and long united must divide. Although this famous opening line sentence refers to the chaos China suffered after the collapse of the Han Dynasty in the 200s AD, it could just as well have been applied seven centuries later to the Five Dynasties and Ten Kingdoms era. The Five Dynasties and Ten Kingdoms are so named because of the succession of small nation-states that proliferated across the former imperial territories of the Tang, none of them lasting for more than a human lifespan. And many of these kingdoms named themselves after former imperial dynasties. Thus, you had the later Zhou, Southern Tang, later Tang, etc., all desperate to gain even a modicum of legitimacy by taking the name of a former central power. Now, the Five Dynasties and Ten Kingdoms era started coming to a close in 960 AD, when the Song Dynasty founder, Zhao Kuangyin, founded the Song Dynasty. And after he seized the throne of one of the Ten Kingdoms, he began a 16-year campaign of reuniting all the breakaway states under a single imperial banner. And this long and violent military undertaking would only conclude 3 years after Zhao Kuangyin passed in 976 AD. And we remember him as Song Taizu. Finally, in 979 AD, the period of division was over. China was once again united under the Song, which would reign for the next 300 years until the Mongols blew into town with all their shock and awe tactics. So, Li Yu, he was born into the royal family of the Southern Tang Kingdom, which lasted from 937 to 976. As far as the Five Dynasties and Ten Kingdoms period went, the Southern Tang was a relatively stable and prosperous state. And as its name suggests, it was one of the southern kingdoms further away from the chaos in the Central Plains regions. Its capital was in today's Nanjing, and since their kingdom was not a military hotspot, the Southern Tang nobility regularly hosted banquets, parties, and allotted ample time to the pursuit of the arts. The Southern Tang produced some of the most accomplished painters of ancient China, and copies of their paintings still survive today. And it was from this genteel Epicurean milieu that we get Li Yu. Li Yu was the sixth son of the king of Southern Tang, and like many younger princes in Chinese history, he never gave ascending to the throne a second thought, partly out of genuine interest and partly to show that he was no threat to his more ambitious older brothers. Li Yu devoted his time to writing poetry. He became well-versed in the most popular poetic form of the time, the ci, or lyric poetry form, where a poet writes a set of lyrics to an already extant tune for a courtesan to sing at a banquet. Li Yu was a poet, not a politician. He had a reputation for being weak, airheaded, and too gentle to rule. He lacked all the necessary qualities required of a leader. So when a series of accidents and early deaths dispatched everyone in the line of succession, Li Yu ended up becoming king. The Southern Tang had already lost a series of battles with neighboring kingdoms, and by the time Li Yu ascended the throne in 961 AD, it was very much a weakened vassal state, no longer a kingdom in its own right. But as one of those less threatening southern kingdoms, it was allowed to exist until quite late in the Song Dynasty's campaign of unification, 976 AD to be exact. And when this final blow came, one of the conditions of surrender that the Song imposed upon the Southern Tang was that its king, Li Yu, be taken to the Song capital of Kaifeng in the north and be placed under house arrest. So Li Yu was condemned to live out the short remainder of his life far away from his homeland and his people. In China today, Li Yu is remembered as a very mediocre ruler, but a very great poet. Some have even suggested he was the greatest artistic talent of all the Chinese rulers, including even Huizong and Qianlong. The pathos of his life story, his unwillingness to take the throne, his eventual death and exile in the Song capital, contributes not insignificantly to Li Yu's reputation. One of the most hotly debated topics surrounding him is which of his poems were written before his defeat and exile, and which were written after. Since many of Li Yu's poems cannot be conclusively dated, scholars are still debating whether each had been written post-exile or before. Now, this particular poem that is the source of this Chengyu is one of the undated ones, which means that, well, purely from historical evidence, we can't conclusively say if Li Yu wrote it before or after he was placed under house arrest in Kaifeng. You'll have to judge for yourself. It's titled Xiangjian Huan, The Happiness of Meeting. Quite an optimistic title for such a poem containing such a desolate tone. These ci or lyric poems weren't given titles of their own. They were just named for whatever the tune was that the poem was set to. So did Li Yu intentionally choose the tune, The Happiness of Meeting, for the tragic irony of the mismatch between poem and title, or did he simply think these lyrics happened to sound best to that tune? Well, whatever the context, Li Yu has provided one of the most famous lines in Chinese literature, very quotable whenever you want to describe any painful emotion, but particularly the grief and pain of parting from a loved one. This might be akin to the immortal line from Act 2, Scene 2 of the Shakespeare play Romeo and Juliet when she bids Romeo farewell. Parting is such sweet sorrow. Well, I guess you could say Jian Bu Duan, Li Hai Luan is a Chinese version of that oft-used verse from Shakespeare. Let me read the poem and follow it up with a Stephen Owen translation from the Anthology of Chinese Literature. Wu yan du shang xi lou, yue ru gou. Ji mo wu tong, shen yuan suo qing qiu. Jian bu duan, li hai luan, shi li chou. Without a word, I climbed the western tower. The moon was like a hook. The silent yard stretched deep through chestnut trees, enclosing autumn, cool and clear. You can cut it, but never cut it through. Get it set, then it's a mess again. That's the sadness of being apart. It has a flavor all its own. Jian bu duan, li hai luan. You can cut it, but never cut it through. Get it set, and then it's a mess again. That's a six-word Chinese saying to describe the sorrow of parting. And the key to understanding the meaning behind this Chengyu is the poem by Li Yu of the Southern Tang. Jian bu duan, li hai luan, everybody. A whole round of applause goes out to Emma, keeping things running at optimum levels all the time over at the Chengyu Yanjiu Zhongxin. She really pulled through for this episode. Thanks, Emma. And thanks again for Charlie in Singapore. Looking forward to see you again for another brunch at the Catella Deli next time you're in town. I'll get Sang to join us. Okay, that's it. This is Laszlo Montgomery signing off from Los Angeles, California, inviting you to join me next time for another exciting episode of the Chinese Sayings Podcast.